right, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege to be in this missions conference. I want to thank you for the godly pastor and his family. I want to thank you for the staff. I want to thank you for the people that has a vision of world evangelization. And Lord, I want to thank you for these missionaries that have said, yes, we will go. Here am I, send me. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have allowed my pathways to cross with some of your choicest servants. Now I pray, Lord, that you will bless tonight, but fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the unction of the Holy One. And give us that power. We need that anointing. And we claim that anointing by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I'd like to read the first 13 verses. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the Gentiles. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And who is he for? The Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, Paul was given to the dispensation of the grace of the church age. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Underline the word mystery. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Underline the word mystery. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostle and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, and I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, underline mystery, for which the beginning of the world had been hidden. What's been hidden? The mystery has been hidden where? In God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent, in order that, to the intent means to the order that, now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle Paul in chapter 3 uses the word mystery. Have you noticed that? That word means something that is beyond the natural knowledge. It is a secret that's known only to God. Something that has God has kept until the proper time. And now it's been opened by divine revelation. How? By the Spirit. And Colossians 1:26, write this verse down, gives us the idea. The mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Where is this mystery? Where? In his saints. Where are his saints? Well, his saints are in his church. Now we're beginning a little bit to know about what is the mystery. What is the mystery? What are we talking about? What's Paul talking about when he talks about the mystery? Now, notice this mystery is something that is previously hidden, but now is made known to the believers. Now it's an open secret. It's known. We all know it now. It has been hid in the economy of God. God has kept it as his secret for his and his timing, and now God has revealed it by the Spirit to the Apostle Paul, and we all know now what that mystery is. I want to say that tonight I want to speak on God's university. God's university. You see, God has a university. I don't know if you realize it or not, but God has a university. And by the way, he's the founder, he's the chairman of the board, and the Holy Spirit is the chief administrator. But I tell you what, the pastor over here is the president of that university. Now look at this, if you would please. Notice, first of all, the mystery is the church. And that is the university that God's talking about. The mystery of the church is discovered in verse 14. Notice he said, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jews and Gentiles become one body in Christ, and this body grows into a holy inner sanctuary for the dwelling place of God. Because of this, Paul said, what? That I bow my knee. Look at that. Verse 13, he said, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at the tribulations for you, which is in your glory, and for this cause I bow my knee." In other words, Paul had gone through all the persecution, and God had selected him and called him especially to be a what? An apostle for the Gentiles. Now, notice, what is God doing in his church? What is the ultimate purpose of the church? Why does God have a church called out by his name? And it's to display his wisdom. Look, it says, and in verse 10, to the intent. And that word intent means in order that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might do what? Might know by the church the manifold wisdom of God. How are the principalities? How are the principalities and the powers of God going to know the wisdom of God? By going to school, by going to God's university, by going to and observing the church. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but we're outnumbered tonight. We're outnumbered. You see, they, an invisible heavenly being of angels are looking in on what we're doing. And they're observing. I believe that God said to the angels something like this today. He said, listen, they're having a missions conference down there, and I want you, I'm assigning you to go down, and I want you to learn and report back to me what's taking place. Why, you serving now, Brother Bell? Oh, yes, they do that. Read Job chapter 1, and you'll find out when the sons of God go into the presence of God to give a report, and the old Satan went in with him, you see. And they have a desire and a burden to know all about this great redemptive plan, this great redemptive purpose, the church age. And the church is not just to go through a routine of customs and traditions and so forth, but God has a plan. He's working his plan, and he's going to complete his plan. Look, it says Paul's focus in the church. What was his focus? His place in the church was in verse 8. What is his place in this church? He said, unto me, who am least and less than least of all the saints, is this grace given me that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. In other words, the thing that happens in the church is preaching of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Now, the angels know nothing about that. They've never experienced that unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. They're unaware of what's taking place. And Paul said, look, he said in verse 9, he wants to inform the world of the church. Verse 9 and in verse 10. And he said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. This mystery that was not known by the Old Testament. This mystery that was not known in ages past. But now it is known. It is the church from which the beginning of the world has been hid. It's been hid in God, in God's economy and in God's mind and in God's purpose. God hid the church age from the Old Testament prophets. But now he said, from the beginning of the world has it been hid in God who created all things in Christ Jesus. So Paul said, now that my job is to preach Jesus Christ in the church. And it's been hid in ages past, but now it is not hid. I want to inform the world. My intent is to inform the world. Look in verses 10 and 11. And this is where my arrowhead is. Look in 10 and 11. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers, where? Where in heavenly places? These are angels, my friends. These are not demons, but these are angels. And he said that these principalities, these rulers in heaven and the powers, the authority made of the in heaven. And he said, my intent is that the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known how? By the church, the manifold wisdom of God. They don't understand this redemption plan. They don't understand how that whenever a sinner gets saved and he gives his life to Jesus Christ and he goes to the mission field and he wants to serve the Lord and there's such a transformation and he glorifies Jesus Christ and he is God's workmanship, and they don't understand all that. And Paul says that this is the job, this is the calling that God has given me. In 1 Corinthians 4:9 it says, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. That word spectacle means a theater, a place of assembly. In other words, this church is a theater or a spectacle or an assembly to where we are observed by angels and by men. In other words, a great drama is taking place. Now notice, the theater is history, and the stage is the world, and the actors of the church, and God's great redemptive purpose is seen in the church. And we are being observed tonight by the unseen world. And I believe with all my heart that there are more here listening and watching and observing and taking notes so that they can report back to God the Father exactly what this local church is doing. Oh, I know God knows. He's omniscient. He knows. But these angels and principalities and powers, these angels want to know. The writer of this script is God, who directs and produces this drama, and who is the audience? Look in verse 11. It says they are the rulers, the principalities in the heavenly realm, the angels, the holy, heavenly, spotless, eternal angels. So what do we see? We see that God and his history of his church is being observed. I hope that gets a hold of you. That heavenly host of God's holy angels that were so holy and so pure and so bright and so impeccable that they refused to look upon the face of God Almighty himself. God said, I want you to go down and I want you to observe what they're doing in my called out assembly and my church that I bought with my blood, but I want you to go down and learn of my wisdom, of my plan. So the history of the church is God's university for the angels. So they go to school every day. Every day, every night, they watch us. They watch our lives, and they watch out the way that we, who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who they've never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They don't know what it is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and it's foreign to them. And they go and watch and observe and to see and to study and to try to understand what's taking place. All the angels watch us because we're part of this great mystery. This is not the only scripture that teaches that. But look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11 and 12. This describes how the prophets are searching intently. The prophets searched intently, trying to understand the prophecies concerning Christ and that. But now they've been revealed in the gospel. And notice in verse 12, at the end of that verse, even angels long to look in on these things. My, the prophets, they didn't understand it. But they didn't understand it. Let me look at that. Let me take this, stop just a minute, and let me look at that. Some of you look like I'm preaching out of the Season Rule Book catalog here, fellas. I mean, good night. Let's look at this. Look at this. Boy, whenever I got a hold of this, I'm going to tell you it did something to my soul. Not only does God, but God is using us as an object lesson, and God wants to show the heavenly beings what his grace can do to an old, a drunkard, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, and he uses our lives as an object lesson, and they come down and go to school every day. My. That make a Presbyterian shout. Look at this. And it said, in 1 Peter, in chapter 1, and in verse 10 and 11, he said, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I don't know how much those Old Testament prophets understood, but I know one thing, they knew that there was going to be a Messiah coming. I don't know. They didn't know about this church age. There's a lot of things they did not know. It was a mystery. But brother, listen to this. Verse 12. Searching what manner of time, verse 11, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, it was revealed, but not to them, but it was revealed to us. They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. My. Whenever I saw that, I began to get concerned. I said, my, the angels desire to look into. And I looked up that word whenever the angels desire to look into. That means that they intensely stooped down and gazed and studied every action that we do.
Everything. I wonder what they're doing there. Did you see that? Hey, watch.
And tonight, they're watching this church. Wonder what a missions conference is.
What is it? What are they trying to do? Oh, I've listened.
And they're intently watching. And the angels stoop down intensely, gazing, studying. This pictures angels bent over intensely, observing the teaching and the action of God's people. You see, they've never been redeemed. They don't understand that, that there's so many marvels and wonders that they don't understand. We have a far greater audience than just what we see. My, this church building may be packed out tonight. And there may be hundreds of angels observing everything that this church does. Look, they have watched. They are eager to learn. They have watched people from the beginning. They watched Moses and Aaron and the blood-drenched offerings and the clouds of smoke and the tabernacle and the temple and on and on and on. And now they watch God's history of his redemptive plan begin to unfold and reveals the church age. And they said, oh, that is a church age. And now they become down and they have seen the advent of Christ and yet more to come. They've seen the incarnation. They've seen the death. They've seen the resurrection of the blessed Lord. Yet there still remains more to learn. And they're eager to learn. They gaze. They look. They are hungry. They study. They observe what's taking place in the history of the church. And they'll do that. How will it turn out? They're wondering as they watch the church. And God reveals, what's he doing? He's revealing his manifold wisdom to these heavenly angels. They study the church and the reconciling work of Christ, which is the model for the reconciling of the universe when everything on heaven and earth will be brought together in him. So we are the object lesson, just as a teacher has an object lesson in her classroom, then the church is an object lesson for all these heavenly beings at God's university. This local church is God's university to teach and to show angelic heavenly beings how the redeemed sinners live whenever they are born again. My. Get a hold of that. So all this demands the view of the church. And it's so high, it challenges my intellect. The church is a product of God reconciling work, will, in fact, be the agent and the ultimate world reconciliation. And this mystery keeps the angels watching. How is it going to come out? How is it going to turn out? What will be the end of this? How will it fold together? That with profound interest, they study. This calling us causes me and causes you to recognize the great truth of what? Of the centrality of his church. I said the first time I preached in this pulpit that the greatest institution upon the face of God's earth is his church. My friend, it was bought with his precious blood. And it's the center of his redemptive plan, not only to redeem sinful man, but it is you for the whole history of the world. Get the big picture and see God's manifold wisdom in this great redemptive plan of redeeming sinful men and of redeeming the whole world. The church is the center of God's plan. Now, let me show you something. When I think of this, what role will Russia or Iraq or the nations of the world or Bible prophecy? And I see nations. See, I'm old enough to remember May 1948 when there was no Israel. And now there is 800 million Arabs trying to destroy 3 million Jews and God. So, what do we have here? Amen. Now get a hold of this. This will bless your gizzard, brother. You get a hold of this. And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you start seeing God moving things around, just like a chessboard, just like putting a crossword puzzle together or putting a puzzle together. And I see that America is not even mentioned in Bible prophecy. Oh, I know some Bible scholars want to stretch this and stretch that. But, brother, I can't find it. I can't find it. The most important institution upon the face of God's green earth is the church. America, as great as she is, and if you don't love it, you ought to leave it. However, America will never bring peace to this world. Never. Never, never, never. Oh, they said they had a picture on the Fox, had a documentary, and I don't watch much TV because it's not fit to watch. Only thing I watch the news. And said, can Rick Warren change the world? Blasphemy. Rick Warren changed the world. Now, what's going to happen whenever you see all these nations? You see, what people who don't know the Lord, doesn't know the Bible, doesn't realize that World War I was fought to prepare the land for the people. See, through the Balfour Declaration, Balfour was a Jew, and he invented dynamite. And they had no land, and the Axis got together, and they said, "Well, we owe him a favor," and they set aside Palestine through the Balfour Declaration. And World War I was fought to prepare the land for the people. World War II was fought to prepare the people for the land. 6 million Jews were murdered and massacred by Hitler. Gave a worldwide sympathy for the Jew and caused the Jew it didn't happen before World War I because they didn't have a land. But now God used World War I to prepare the land for the people. He used World War II to prepare the people for the land. And World War III is going to be prepared for the king to reign upon the throne of his son David. You say, "Well, Brother Bell, you've been dreaming again." Well, if I'm dreaming, you just throw me another bale of hay, I'm going to stay with this one, brother. That's all right. Because, listen, I'm talking about church, I'm talking about history, and God's in control. You mark it down. God Almighty is in charge, and he's in control. So, there's three great facts that I want you to learn here, and I want you to hold them dear, because God is in control of history. And the church is the center of the stage. Now we must learn this. Number one, the church is central to all history. Look in verse 7 and 8. Look what it says. They, in verse, in Ephesians, go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 3, 7 and 8. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power unto me, whom the least of all saints is that the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. So the open secret is that the church will rule the universe along with Christ. Now, we're going to do it. We are being observed. And the redeemed people, for his name's sake, he's calling out a redeemed people. Look, he's calling out a redeemed people for his name's sake. And we are the pearl of great price. The church is the pearl of great price. You take communism, Marxism, Islamicism, and the only system that will survive is the church. It will survive because he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church will survive. It is the only institution that will survive. They'll never destroy the church. There's not enough Muslims. There's not enough communists. There's not enough infidels. There's not enough agnostics. There's not enough humanists to destroy God's church. It will survive. It's the center of history. So, notice Paul said the church is the center of history. And he brought it into the world. He'll take it through the world. And there will be not a smell of smoke upon it. It will survive. Jesus said, I will build my church. Then notice secondly, the church is the central to the gospel. Ephesians 6 and 8, look what he says, that the Gentiles should be fellow. Now this is Jews and Gentiles in the same church. And that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of his promise in Jesus Christ, or in Christ, by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you work against the church, you're working against his power. You're working against the power of the Almighty Creator. And his church is the center of the gospel. The Ephesians teaches that the complete gospel involves both preaching of Christ and the mystery of the church. And I want to say this. He loves his church. And he loves the church. Psalm 78 said he loves the gates of Zion more than the dwelling of Jacob. He died for the church. He didn't die for the home. He didn't die for the government. He died for the church. And it's the church that's going to survive. And if the home's in the church, then the home will survive. And I don't believe, I believe in separation of church and state, but I do not believe that, I believe whenever you're a Christian, if you're in the government, you take Christ with you. You are in Christ. Wait a minute now. So, this means that the local church you attend is what? Extremely important. It's watched by the world and by angels and by men. Every move, every action, every word that we see or say. When it is preached, when it preaches Christ and when it lives as the church ought to live, as souls are being saved and drawn to the head of our head of the church, which is the Lord Jesus, angels look at one another and wonder, how did that happen? How did that take place? Through the fullness of preaching, my brother. Through the fullness of preaching. Through the death, burial, and resurrection. And simply believing it. That's how it happened. And they look at it in amazement. Look at the wisdom of God. Man could never come up with that kind of plan. Then number three, the church is central to Christian living. Look at verse 12. He says, wherefore, verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. That refers back to verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse 13, Paul said that is highly exalted. This high exalted place we have is in the scheme of God's plan. Paul was willing to pay anything. Look at verse 13. Any price to see the church go forward. He was willing to suffer for its glory. Paul wanted the church to understand the awesome responsibility of being a church member. And the bottom line is that church attendance is not an option for a redeemed sinner. Now, I'm not saying you have to go to church to be saved, but you don't have to go home to be married. However, if you do not support and be faithful to your home, your relationship will sure be in jeopardy. And same way with the church. Listen, you ought to be faithful. You ought not be an adulterer and not be faithful to the church. He that is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Be faithful. But being faithful to your local church is not an option. Paul's gospel was Christ and the church. So, what do we have here? Notice, since Christ and his church is the only answer to the world's problem, I have news for you. Washington don't have the answer. I've got news to you. The politicians don't have the answer. The leaders of the world don't have the answer. The only thing that can solve the problems of the world is for the gospel to be preached wherever we go. Preach the gospel. It's the only thing that will change a man's heart. As I said, Pastor Kennedy said, the greatest friend that the government can have is the Christianity, because it's the only religion that changes the heart of a man. Man's heart is wicked, and the only hope for America is a revival, is for the gospel to be preached and for men's hearts to be changed. That is the hope of the world. Evangelism is not an option. We must reach out to those who are lost. Missions, we must reach out. We must be missionaries. We must be evangelistic. So, the mystery is discovered. Number one. Number two, the mandate is to be heeded. This church has a mandate. We have a mandate. We must be serious. We must be dead serious. Oh, listen, we must be as serious as death itself, because the eyes of the world's upon us, and the eyes of the unseen world is upon us. We are God's university. Then thirdly, not only is the mandate to be heeded, but the message is to be proclaimed. Oh, how do we find the angels look and say, look, they live different. I watched him come out of the pool hall, the beer joint. Look at him now. He's dressed up. He's got a bath. He's got shaved. Look, what in the world's happened to him? What's happened to him? You know, you angels, look at that. He's different. Why, he's not cussing anymore. Look at that. Look, he and his wife are bowing their heaven family altar. They're praying. Well, look at that. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. He's got an open Bible. What's he doing? He's leading his daughter or his son to Jesus. Wait a minute. Hey, look at that family. They're getting up. They're going to prayer meeting. Hey, look at it. They're going to church. Hey, listen. We are being observed by the world and by the unseen world. We're God's university. And there is a message to be proclaimed. And then there's a ministry to be completed. Oh, listen, what an awesome responsibility to serve an eternal God who has a great redemptive plan, and we are co-laborers together. Every one of you that go off into a foreign land somewhere, Just remember that you have something in common with the Son of God that left the thrones of glory, left the bosom of the Father, and came down to a cow stall and was born in a manger. He was the first missionary, and he bled and he died and paid his sin debt. And now he rose again and back to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit, indwells us, that we might be able to go and take the Great Commission to the ends of the earth. My, what a redemptive story. My, what a plan. My, what an opportunity. My, what a great thing. Oh, thank God that God's in control. He's in charge. He's running things. I get so, I chuckle whenever I watch the news and see some of these intellectual politicians. And they feel like they have the answer. I got news for you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto me except the Father draws him. And listen, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I'm going to tell you what, you give your heart to Jesus Christ and he'll comb the kinks out of your head. I'm going to tell you something. You won't have to rely upon everything else. You just rely upon Jesus and you surrender to him. If you want, hey, the Bible says he'll give you perfect peace whose mind stays upon him. What a Savior. What a story. Oh, listen, go tell it, go tell it, go tell it, go tell it, go tell it. It won't be long till it'll all be over. And history is H-I-S, his story, S-T-O-R-Y. So God is in control. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God's university is this local New Testament assembly. God's university sends down tonight a covey of angels and said, I want you fellows to go down and observe that little church there in Eden at New York. And I want you to come back and give me a report and tell me what you think. Just tell me, what do you think that my manifold wisdom is? What do you think? What did you learn? What did you learn today by watching them as they worked? What did you learn today as you heard them as they preached? What did you learn? Listen, God's speaking to some of your hearts right now. Oh, won't you get in on this great story? Won't you get in on it? Won't you say, by the grace of God, oh, preacher, I want to be co-laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be part of his plan and surrender it all and quit hiding and holding on to little parts of your life. Surrender it all, because God has a plan. He's working his plan, and he will complete his plan. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed.